Do you ever quit a show? I feel so guilty and I can't believe that I'm having such a hard time with it, but I quit Stranger Things.
Wow.
I watched the first like three seasons. I never really enjoyed it, but I felt like it's so pop culture and it's so everybody watches it.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was obligated to. And I don't like sci-fi and I don't like that scary. And some of it is scary, right?
Mm-hmm. It's that societal guilt. They'll get you with that, man.
Right.
Well, so, I think that this season is scarier than it's ever been, too. That's the first thing. But the other thing is I don't know. That show feels, its nostalgia range feels maybe a few years earlier than you. Because it hits mine dead center. Like, I remember all those different things from growing up. But, you know, it happens. You fall out of love with shows that you like for a while or whatever. It sounds like you've been painfully going through it the entire time.
Last season was terrible. Like, I could not stand it. And then this season, I'm like, all right, plow through it. And, like, you forget how long an
put
hour,
in the work.
Hour mm-hmm. is to watch something. I watched the first episode, all right. I watched the second episode, all right. I watched the third episode. And about halfway through the third episode, I go, you're a grown-up, Anna. Mm. You can quit at any time.
Right.
You know? This is it.
Those episodes are so long, too. They're like
so
an hour and a half.
Long. And I that's it. I'm done. I am done watching Stranger Things. And it feels strange to not know what happens at the end. And I don't care.
I've had my wife quit a show in 25 minutes or less. Like, we're into the first episode of a show. And some great shows that I've watched took a little time to get the engine running, basically. Like Game of Thrones, first couple episodes, I was like, I don't know. I wasn't really feeling it. Last time I gave up a show, it was because you ruined it for me.
What show?
Cobra Kai.
You gave up Cobra Kai?
I stopped watching Cobra Kai in season three.
You did?
I did.
You love that show.
I loved that show. And then Anna would tell me all about the show within 24 hours of it being released.
Explain what I did.
Oh, okay. So Anna likes to tell me all about the show. But what she does do is, so she'll sprinkle in real things that are happening in the program.
Spoilers.
But she will also tell me things that are made up. Okay. So she thinks like that should up my entertainment value, that I should watch the show and constantly be ready for a surprise. But the problem is that every one of those things she told me, it's haunting me in my head.
Well, every single time you watch a show with somebody else, though, it makes it that much easier for you to quit on it, I feel like. At least for me, like Sons of Anarchy, me and my ex would watch that show constantly. And I just kind of drifted out of it after a little while. I don't know why. I really liked that show.
What's the first indication that things were going south?
Well, you know, I was just saying.
You no longer wanted to watch Sons of Anarchy on the couch.
She was all about Jax Teller. She had a huge crush on Jax Teller. I wasn't there, man. I couldn't get it. But then the last couple episodes aired, and that little bit of curiosity, I sat down and I watched him, whether I must have driven her insane, because I was like, oh, that dude's dead now? Oh, wait, so hold on. Why is he doing that? The whole entire, is he going to kill his, anyway.
And that's what happened. That's when your marriage was over, right at that point.
Right.
We knew it.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Driving you crazy today. You just got to get it off your chest. You can call 1-800-330-9999. You can text too. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
Doesn't feel nice to say it, but if you're posting pictures of yourself crying, especially videos of yourself crying on social media, that's all I need to know about you.
Producer John, did you do that yesterday and are you feeling sad about something?
No, I see other people doing it and it's silly. I'm starting to listen. There is nothing wrong with crying. If you got to have a good cry, absolutely. Everybody deserves that. But if you post about it on social media, you're not actually like genuinely sad about whatever it is. You just want people to feel bad for you. And then the kicker is when somebody writes in the comment section and they go, oh my gosh, what's wrong? And then you write something like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. Yes, you do.
Right.
Yes, you do want to talk about it. You wouldn't have posted it if you didn't want to talk about it.
I'm too busy. I can't talk about it right now.
You just want, too busy.
This is the thing now, though, is that terrible angle populated by Blair Witch all those years ago. Now we'll get you all the likes. Everybody, it will get you the traffic.
With the snot? Mm-hmm.
A little bubble, something like that. Right. If you ugly cry, that it moves you up the ladder. It's true.
I don't understand why people want that kind of attention. You know, to me, it just seems embarrassing.
Some people just want any kind of attention, right?
I guess
any publicity is not bad publicity is the way they look at it, right? Mm-hmm. Just anything where somebody pays attention.
You know, mine's kind of Facebook related too, but if I text you and you just straight up ignore me, but then I see you posting on Facebook 5 minutes later, that's all I need to know about you.
Called out.
Like, producer Sean's been sad about this all day.
You know who you are. I know you're listening. You know exactly who you are.
You know what I did the other day? And it's messed up. I have a couple. I have a million text chains on my phone, and it's actually too many. But one is like a big group, and then there's like the cul-de-sac groups, which is like one of the person or two of the people like on the sides.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody messages me privately, and I don't get back to them, but I respond to the group text.
For- yes.
Yeah. I caught myself doing that the other day, and I'm like, oh, no, this is going to cause unnecessary drama.
Yeah. And you got to be careful with that, the layered conversations, right?
Right.
Because you don't know what's been said to one person in that spot.
Oh. I was going to say, if you've got a big group and then you have a subgroup where you talk smack about the big group,
right.
That's all I need to know about you.
It's not even
it's
smack.
Trouble.
It's just, it's nothing bad. It's just a matter of like, I don't know, whatever. Go ahead.
It is true that, you know what, my wife and her friends, they get sensitive about that. Guys are really not so much in that. I'll tell you what, if you haven't been paying attention, if you're not prepared to fight an alligator are, now that's all I need to know about you.
This has been a thing with
alligators are eating people, Anna. It is happening left and right, yeah. And you have got to be ready. If you're walking along a stream, a swamp, a marsh, mm-hmm. anything like that, you better be ready to fight an alligator nowadays.
I told you, I went on that alligator tour. The guy was so matter of fact, you just got to punch him right in the nose.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a guy who lives down there, and when he goes, you know, catfishing, he does it noodling with his bare hands.
The nose.
That's
is
a
right
different
next,
individual.
The nose is right next to the scary part.
That's exactly right. You better be ready to go like ninja on an alligator. They're very dangerous.
If you pay $275 for a pair of Balenciaga underwear, that's all I need to know about you. That's how much they're selling them for right now, and the craziest part to me is that they're dry clean only. You're going to spend $275 for a pair of Muthons and then you got to bring them to the dry cleaners too?
I'm sorry, what?
Here's what I don't get is that all the clothes that I see from them, it's like always like a full suit. Like you don't see the face, you don't see anything. Like, I mean, unless you're walking right to your limousine and you have people that are like handling your walkway, you're in danger.
I just don't understand why your underwear got to be so expensive.
Dry cleaning parts insulting.
Right. What's the thing that's driving you crazy? 1-800-330-9999. Can you help me out with this? If you're taking golf lessons or any lesson for that matter, whatever you're learning, do you tip the coach or the teacher? You know, call 1-800-330-9999. I keep finding myself in this situation lately where I feel like because there's so many tip jars everywhere,
yeah.
I don't know who I'm supposed to tip and who I'm not supposed to tip anymore.
Yeah.
And I have this great golf coach. Like he's great and he's really good with me and my friend. We're taking lessons together. And even my daughter started going to him now.
Mm-hmm.
And like our session is over tomorrow. And I'm like, am I supposed to tip him? And I don't want to insult him if I'm not supposed to. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do.
Well, I think it's more insulting if you're supposed to and then you don't, right?
So, I don't know.
You know, I've been thinking about this because you've mentioned it to me a couple times throughout the week. And I think that, so at first I was like, I think you're supposed to. But now I'm like, you know what? You booked the guy. And you're doing the service and he's, you know, it's a one-on-one thing with you and your friend. I don't think you tip for that, but I might tip him for the lessons he's giving your daughter.
Why?
If he's good to her, like if, you know what I mean? Like if he's nurturing in the lessons or whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
I don't know.
You know, I don't want to be a hater either because there are a lot more tip jars out there. But one thing I know about people, and I'm definitely part of this category, if you put a tip jar in front of me, I may have never considered tipping you before, but now I will.
And it bothers me, though, because I'm like, wait a minute, was I supposed to be tipping this person
the whole time?
Right. I don't know.
Right.
It seems like lately, everywhere you go, is like you see these tip jars, and I very rarely have cash.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to have like a $2, $3 in my purse is a big deal. I was thinking about this, too. The valet, I always tipped the valet when I picked up the car. But I noticed the other day, one of my friends tipped when she dropped off the car. And I go, wait a minute, why did you tip when you dropped off the car? And she goes, so they take care of your car, Anna.
That's right.
It never came across my, I never thought of that. I go, yeah. I didn't know you were supposed to tip twice.
Well, you want to be preemptive at the very least, right? I mean, if you get your car back after, you can decide whether to tip them again at that point. If it's the same guy, maybe you do, maybe you don't. You know what I was thinking is, My pest guy just caught 5 skunks.
Right.
But he owns the company.
Ah.
Do I tip him? Do I not? I mean, he has other people that work for him at the company, but he usually comes to my house just because I recommend him a lot. I think, you know, we know each other. I just feel like, you know, he knows that I have a preference.
That's a thing. That's another thing is I remember a lot of people saying, like, if they're the owner of the business,
right,
then you're not supposed to tip them. But I'm like, yeah, but like they're still doing the work that the other person did. So if I would have tipped that person, wouldn't I just tip the owner as well?
And would it depend on how intensive the job is? Like if you've got a landscaping company, if the owner's there with his crew, do you not tip the crew?
Who knows? How about when they show up for a flower delivery? And you don't even know they were coming.
Right.
Are you supposed to tip them? Like
you
got to
give them something out of your house. I'm sorry. I don't have anything around here. Here's a vase.
Wait,
please take this. I have extra vases. I don't need that part. But thank you for bringing the flowers.
Luckily, Karen Thomas is available. She's one of the nation's foremost authorities when it comes to etiquette. And hopefully she'll know a thing or two about tipping. It's next. Who are you supposed to tip and how much are you supposed to tip them? Karen Thomas is the foremost authority when it comes to etiquette. You can find her online at ktetiquette.com. Karen, this all comes up because I don't know if I'm supposed to tip my golf pro, the guy that's been teaching me how to play golf.
Ah, that's a good question. Now, the golf pro, no, but caddy, yes.
Okay.
So what I remember, Karen, is the way you painted it for me one time is personal services. Like if somebody's coming to take care of something specifically for me, that I got to tip that person.
Absolutely. Like, for example, your repairman at the house, the plumber. Exactly.
So you said person at the house. How about like the refrigerator repairman? So that person would get a tip. How much?
Depends upon what the service is. Now, normally you would get the bill or the estimate either ahead of time or when he's leaving. And then I usually give a percentage. I'm usually anywhere between $15 and $25 on the tipping for those services.
Let's get specific here for a minute, yes. Karen. I just had this conversation with my wife yesterday. We picked up sandwiches at the restaurant. She rang me up. I put $2 in the tip jar. Am I supposed to put that money in the tip jar or do I not need to tip that person?
So etiquette states that when you're physically doing the work, you know, you went and picked it up. There was no delivery. You know, you went to the restaurant. You don't need to. It's a nicety to throw a couple dollars in, and that I do the same, but that's not required.
How about specific people like the sandwich artist at Subway? Like he made your sandwich. Like he specifically said, do you want extra olives? And you said, yes, I would love some extra olives, and I would also love extra mayonnaise too. Are you supposed to put $2 on that thing?
No.
How about the barista at Starbucks?
No.
Oh, interesting.
Because, again, you are physically there and placing your order, doing there. It's an exchange right there. Do you tip at McDonald's?
I do not.
At the sandwich place, to me, it was like they pumped me. Like, she primed me. She was nice to us. She engaged in conversation with us. Like, she primed me for that. So it worked that way. You know, I had such a great experience the last time that I traveled, Karen, that I really wanted to do something for the flight crew. I mean, they were so good to me. Do I tip a flight attendant?
If I'm not mistaken, and I have to research that one, I don't believe they can accept tips. I don't think they can accept those. But, you know, just telling them and going on to their website and leaving great remarks about Sally, the flight attendant, or whatever, get their first name and flight number and stuff, that will go a long way because that will go farther than actually tipping.
How about somebody that's watching your cat, or your dog while you're away, the cat sitter? Because I feel like they're their own boss, so why would I have to tip on top of it? But I had a couple people tell me, like, no, you're supposed to.
Yes, that one you are supposed to. And again, that is at your leisure. So maybe, you know, did they do it every day for a week? Did they do it just for a day? Do they do it regularly? If it's random or it's just for a vacation, then you could give them a little bit on top of what their fee is that they charge as a tip, yes.
Karen, my rule is if they're taking care of something that you love, then you have to take care of them, period.
Oh,
it's not an object.
No, my dog, I get you on that.
Right. It's not an object. It's a living, breathing thing that I want them to care for. And, be nice to, too.
Right, one last one, Karen. I know it varies state to state on whether there's a gas station attendant. Some states there are, some states there's not. But if you have somebody that pumps your gas for you, do you tip them?
Absolutely, because he's doing a service. It's a dirty thing. I got to sit in the car. I didn't have to get out. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's great. All right, you want to learn more about Karen? Head to ktetiquette.com. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Pain and shock to your body may be beneficial if you believe the hype. The 150th Open Championship in Scotland wrapped up this weekend. Jordan Spieth is a pro golfer, and this is what he said in an interview.
So I'll probably do an ice bath tonight, which ice baths are a lot harder in Scotland than they are in Memphis.
Do you do a lot of ice baths?
I like to do cold therapy whenever I can. I think it's the most beneficial thing I've found. If I don't do them, I actually feel my legs are fatigued the next morning, and when I do, I don't notice it. It just helps kind of get that energy, and it also helps me sleep better, too.
I know so many athletes that do these ice baths, and all of them swear by it.
Yeah. I mean, any movie that you would ever see or documentary or whatever, it's not complete the montage without some massive person getting into an ice bath or somebody with a snapped ankle or something like that. They got to get all the way in there, Anna Zapp.
So I like the idea of not only is it going to rejuvenate my body, you know, I have all my issue with my knee lately.
Oh, you got issues.
Oh, I got a lot of issues. Oh, man. But also that I said it helped you sleep. So last night I was like, you know what? I sent my husband to the grocery store to get bags and bags of ice.
Oh, great.
I said, I'm going to take an ice bath. Yeah. And then I decided, all right, let's go. Let's do this. I brought my daughter with me, Hayden, to test the whole thing into video.
Oh, my God. No, that's really cold. Oh, I can't go in. I can't go in. I don't think I can do it. All right. You can do this. You've done worse. Get in the bathtub.
Anytime, here's a random side note, is anytime that I have to do something that I don't want to do,
yeah.
I talk to myself and I talk myself into it and I tell myself I've done worse in the past and things are going to be 100% fine and to just get in there.
Sure.
Also, this entire video is up on our Instagram at Anna and Raven if you want to watch it. Also, the first time I've ever been fully clothed in my bathtub.
I was going to say, did you use the blurry things?
No.
You've got better technological talents than I have.
Okay. I can't feel my feet. Just go. Oh my God. It's like being in the Titanic. It's like drowning. I can't feel my feet. Oh my God.
I guess in my mind, the things that come out of my mouth when you're in distress.
Not good to say.
No, but that's what it felt like.
In no way is it anything like drowning on the Titanic.
I just came out. I don't know.
Okay.
When your body's in distress like that, it goes through crazy things.
It hurts. It's like pins and needles all over your body. Mm-hmm. I'm not even fully submerged. I'm only into like my thighs. The baby's sleeping. Stop screaming.
I had to like tell myself to be quiet because the baby was sleeping and I didn't want to wake her up.
Where's Paul? Just downstairs cranking up the game? You're kind of annoying on this.
Well, Hayden is watching it. She's like, you're such a baby, Mom. You're
right.
Such a baby.
No, that's good. I'm good. You do it, Hayden. Go in.
Oh, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. You're so full of it.
Hayden, it sounds like it was doing much worse than that.
You are such a liar.
She's so mad at her.
How are you feeling?
My legs are cold.
Your legs are cold?
Yeah.
Oh, I should stay. Why don't you hang out? I should take a bath. I'll take a nice bath. Stay in there for a while. No?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good.
She talked a big game until she had to get in the bathtub and she saw what it was like. And then she was like, yeah, she lasted about 20 seconds. That's all that she lasted, too.
I mean, from the audio, I'm just telling you what I heard. She did a lot better than you, and you sound really mad at her for doing it.
I will say I slept really well last night.
How long did you stay in the bath?
Not long. 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
That's all I could do.
I think you have to get in there like 5-10 minutes until you're like numb at
least. It really, really hurt. It's pins and needles all over your body. I don't suggest it. Yeah. I don't, unless you're a for real athlete and you have to deal with that. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Chris Cuomo is trending. So remember, he got fired from CNN last December for allegedly advising and helping his brother, Andrew Cuomo, in the governor scandal. Yeah. So he gets fired. It's like a big public thing. Everybody in the world knows about it. Guess what is the first job he applied for after that, which I thought was fascinating.
Mm. Mm.
He applied to be a volunteer firefighter with the East Hampton Fire Department.
What? Trying to do a little bit of a redemption type thing, right? I mean, he's in good shape. I know that. So
no, he's hot. I mean,
I'm not a fan. You do what you want over there. I'm definitely not a fan.
Handsome man with a nice build that could probably be a firefighter. But then I was thinking about it. I'm like, it was probably like one of the things he always wanted to do. He's like, I'll be a firefighter one day. Something that he admired or whatever.
That seems like a pretty transparent attempt at like public redemption. I don't know if there was an actual childhood goal.
No.
And that guy does kind of like him, but okay.
Wait a minute. I don't think that this is, we're going to say timeout on that because he didn't take the job when he found out how many hours it required him to work. So I don't think that the volunteer fire department was his redemption. I think it's something that he thought he could do as a hobby. Personally, what I think is happening here is that he probably has a block from CNN for a year. He can't work anywhere else. And anyway, what it comes down to is if you are going to have to get a new job tomorrow, you could no longer do the job you had, right? Every single one of us are fired, right? Which happens in radio.
Yeah.
You wake up one day and you don't have a job. And tomorrow you had to do a whole nother job, but you couldn't do radio anymore. what would be the job you do? Raven.
Home Depot. I'm going. I can't wait to be the guy in the orange smock who takes up 45 minutes of your husband's time when he comes in to look for one little thing. Wait a minute. What's the project you're doing? All right, let's go take a walk. It might be over here in aisle 13. I'm doing that for hours every single day. And I'm not saying that they don't work, because plenty of them do work. I'm just saying, like, that's my fantasy.
That's it. I mean, if I lose my job here, I'm making the album. I'm going on the road. We're doing it. I'm going to commit. You know, I see it on influencers on Instagram all the time. They say, you know what? Quit the job. Go for it. You're still young. I might not be, but you know what? If I lost my job here, might as well do it.
Paraphrase, John's going to live in a van.
Yep. That's true. And the real truth is I'd probably just get the job I had before I worked here. But I'd like to think that it would be my time to make the album.
Sean, what are you doing? You get fired today. You can't do radio anymore. What are you going to do tomorrow?
You know, realistically, I could probably get my old job back managing a grocery store. But unrealistically, I'm going to be the greatest actor in the world. That's me, man.
I didn't know that you had a passion for acting. Do you?
I do. I do.
Have you acted? Have you done any drama before or whatever?
Yeah, I've done like drama and like when I was, I've done theater in high school and a class when I was in college.
Wow, so. Okay. I'm a little bit envious. There you go.
That is cool.
Good for you. You should do that. Just don't live in John's van.
Definitely not.
Right. What are you going
to
do, Anna?
Oh, I'm going to go. I want to learn how to work with beluga whales. I want to work at an aquarium. And I want to be a marine biologist and I want to work with the whales. Now, I'm not a good swimmer. So I have to start probably there, but I would like, they're such beautiful, majestic animals, whales, and I just would love to learn more about them and spend more time with them, and I figure if I lose this job, then what do I have to lose? I'll just go spend time with the whales.
Right. Is a beluga a whale?
Yes. Yes.
It's not like a dolphin?
Why do they call them beluga whales, yeah. John? Right. Is that a real conversation we're going to have right now?
Beluga dolphins.
Feels like a dolphin.
I feel like they don't just let average people into with whales. Like, you're gonna have to do schooling and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm prepared for that.
Okay. Well, good luck to all of us.
Thank you. You just landed your dream interview. It's a job you really, really want. You're doing all the preparation, all the things you know you're supposed to do, but you overlook something that's also really important. What you're supposed to wear. Gabrielle Woody is a career confidant. You can find her online at GabrielleWoody.com. How important is what you show up in on the day of the interview?
What you show up on the day of the interview is very important because it shows, one, if you did research about the company, but also how passionate you are about working at the company. So you want to be able to show that you're able to fit into the company culture and you care about your presence the day of the interview.
Gabby, that's more than just showing up looking good, right? Like, you don't want to be that creeper that comes in a uniform, right? Like, hey, I found this at the local store. I mean, I thought it looked a lot like yours. I just want to be part of the team.
Yes, I think by industry, it definitely varies what is appropriate in the interview. So asking your recruiter or HR professional or whoever is the point of contact at the company what you should wear is really important. So some things you shouldn't wear on the interview is something that could be very distracting to the interviewer. And what I usually talk about is wrinkles or stains on the shirt, straps hanging out, having obscene colors. You also don't want to be too casual. So you might think of like activewear or flip-flops, spaghetti straps, ripped jeans. You shouldn't show up to an interview like that because that may just come across as that you don't care about the interview or don't care about working at that company.
You know, it's funny, Gabrielle, because we have interns that come and interview for jobs. And I always look because I don't know if I'm old school, but I feel like anytime you go to a job interview, you should dress up. You should show that you cared. Mm. And a lot of times, I think because we're a radio station and we're very casual, you know, that people show up in like jeans and t-shirts, and that immediately rubs me the wrong way. So don't you think, like, no matter what, you should always elevate the way you dress, even if that's not the way you're going to dress if you actually get the job?
Always overdress, in my opinion, versus underdressing when in doubt. What I recommend, even if it's a casual company, still come as business casuals.
Gabby, it's interesting to me that one of the first things that you mentioned is that they not be wrinkled, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times somebody doesn't have a beautiful suit, right? They don't have a beautiful outfit or whatever, but how they take care of themselves, if the shoes are dirty, if the pants are wrinkled, it's a lot different than they pressed their shirt, right? right? They've got their pants right. pressed. They're ready to come in. They look good.
Being put together and looking very neat is key here. It does. You don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on your interview wear, but just look presentable.
So, Gabrielle, I thought that we would fire off some things that we would wear to an interview, and you tell us yay or nay. Sound good?
Okay.
Crocs.
Oh, nay, nay.
No.
A beret, some sort of hat or fancy, like
nay. That'll distract the interviewer.
Overalls, even if it's not for a farm.
Nay.
A cape, like something that you would find in a photo booth setup, but not long like you're actually Superman, but just like you have a positive attitude.
Nay, sorry, no cape.
What if I don't feel like wearing a bra that day?
Oh my goodness. Nay. Support.
Sneakers with suit pants or slacks.
But like cool sneakers, like Air Jordans.
Definitely like neon on the side.
Yeah.
Pumps.
Yeah. Like expensive ones.
Remember the pumps?
Yes.
I'm still going to have to say nay.
And if it's the holiday season, should we wear an ugly Christmas sweater to tell them that we're down with partying?
Nay, save that for the company party.
All right, if you say so. Gabrielle Woody, you can find her online at GabrielleWoody.com.
You'll be saying wow every time you use this towel.
This is my George Foreman feminized grill.
Call now. We'll give you a second set. Absolutely free.
It's kind of a happy accident. It's the best thing that's ever happened. Worldwide heat wave last week around America. The heat was all the way up in the UK today. They're going to break every record they ever had for the heat. So last week when it was prime week, I saw something pop up on my feed that was clearly targeted towards me.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Just for you.
An elastic hands-free umbrella hat. It promised to keep me 10 degrees cooler in the sun. It's a hat that looks like an umbrella that shades all the sun. But it's multi-use because it's also an umbrella.
I mean, it looks like one of those little pop-up things you put on the beach, but it's head-sized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah. It comes around your shoulders and whatnot, kind of like a Shaolin hat a little bit, actually.
And if you haven't searched Amazon for an umbrella hat, there's oddly many different options. So I selected
God bless Amazon.
I selected one that costs on Prime Day $9.43. There were a few reviews that really stuck out with me that I thought would be the appropriate and perfect umbrella hat.
Okay.
Scott wrote, seriously, best purchase ever. Sure, I look like a dope wearing it, but this bad mama son jamma protects my fair skin from the damaging UV rays and ailing communications. Alien communications.
Oh, okay, right.
The aliens trying to get you.
Oh, sure, okay.
I was like, wait a minute, I can also block aliens? That sounds right.
Who wants to, though?
Alec wrote, perfect for when I want to look insane. Pairs well with a full face and shoulder shroud to obscure the features for those bright and sunny days when you must walk among the humans.
And that way nobody will know it's actually you.
But then Jennifer was so, I mean, just realistic. She says, I work for the post office and you know the motto, rain or shine. This thing did wonders. Not a drop on my mail. Great buy for the price.
I mean, thank you. Seems like an investment really for the people if she's walking door to door.
So yesterday, Raven and I were caught in a storm and I had it in my car. I hadn't even tried it yet because I just wasn't outside long enough. I actually had planned to wear it to my daughter's soccer practice just to humiliate her in front of her entire team. I figured that was probably the best mom way to go. Route.
Yeah, she would have definitely appreciated that. That's
right.
For sure.
But Raven marched ourselves downstairs. I put on the hat and here's what happened.
Okay, we're going to go outside and see how it works. Let's go.
Standing next to her, I'm inherently going to get wetter.
Do you want to come under my umbrella hat?
I don't think so.
Look at me. Oh, look at me.
Staying dry.
I am staying 100% dry.
And your phone is safe.
Yeah.
And every second that goes by, I just get wetter and wetter.
Look how wet you are.
Yeah.
Guess who's not that wet? Me.
I guess it works.
It worked.
I have to say, it was pretty impressive that it kept your entire shoulder area dry. Now, the one thing is, like any other umbrella, and anybody who stands next to somebody that has an umbrella, is that you know that you're going to get wet from the spill off of the umbrella.
Yeah.
In this case, the umbrella hat is not wide enough to, you know, encompass your whole circumference. So I think that if you were standing in one place long enough, your butt would have been soaked. Because it was just trailing off the hat and then dropping onto your butt. So I think that your actual butt would have been soaked. But I mean your shoulders, your face, your hair, It was all dry.
It really was. So if you want to see the umbrella hat for yourself and how it held up, you can head to our Instagram at Anna and Raven and check it out for yourself. I give this buy 2 thumbs up.
Wow.
Quick, who's a better driver, you or your significant other? 71% of people believe that they're far better a driver than their partner. I don't know. I agree with that 100%, actually.
Yeah. I mean, because it's 100% true. Everybody knows that their partner is the far worst driver. You are the best driver. That's why we do the driving.
Right. Yeah, but it's funny because I truly believe that I'm a better driver than my husband.
Mm.
But whenever we're in the car, I let him drive just because I don't want to. I don't feel like it.
I love how you use the word "you let him," like basically like you're doing him a favor, a little pat on the head or something like that. I mean, I've always been the driver. I had a bad accident when I was a teenager. I was not the driver. And ever since then, I just prefer to be in the driver's seat. That's all.
Mm.
That's just the way it is with me, no matter what.
My husband has quirks. There's certain things that he does that drive me crazy. And the top 3 complaints that people have about their significant other driving, number 1, too fast. I'm the opposite. I think he drives too slow.
Same. She drives so slow.
I'm like, are we going to stand behind this car? We're going to stand behind this car for another 7 miles? Go around.
She always says, I'm close and aggressive, but when she's in a hurry, she's like 3 feet off the bumper. It freaks me out. And the nose of her car is shorter.
Number 2 is tailgate. You're too far up on the person in front of you.
Oh.
And number 3 is brake too hard. I don't have a problem with any of these. I'm the complete opposite. The weird thing that Paul does is, one, he reverses into every spot, which drives me crazy because I feel like it's unnecessary time wasted. And then I can't get anything into the trunk because we're so close to whatever's behind us.
And that is a pain.
And then the other one is that he drives with his high beams on. Like at night, there's lights on the road. There's no need to have your high beams on. And then you wait for the person to flash you to shut them off. It makes me crazy.
Yeah, that's not a good one. To be fair, the older you get, the less your eyes are good at night. I know that makes him sound 1,000, but, it is true.
I asked him, though, what he thought.
Yeah.
Who do you think is a better driver, me or you?
Me.
You didn't even hesitate.
Nope.
What do I do that you think makes me not as great as a driver as you?
You admittedly told me you practically fall asleep at the wheel several times.
Well, that's because I'm tired, not because I'm a bad driver.
Well, you're driving a car while you're practically falling asleep, so that would make you a bad driver.
Yeah, but now I put those Jolly Ranchers in the front seat to have a little sugar.
I think you're a bad driver, period.
I put Jolly Ranchers. Okay.
Wait a minute. Jolly Ranchers.
I put Jolly Ranchers in the front seat now, so I suck on the sugar, and it keeps me awake and more alert.
That's what stands between you and the other operators on the highway. And a terrible, terrible car wreck.
No, I would never fall asleep at the wheel, but I'm just saying sometimes I'm tired and I just need a Jolly Rancher.
Right, okay.
We asked Raven's wife, Felicia. Moving on.
Who's a better driver, me or you?
Oh, 100% me.
What's wrong with my driving?
Everything. Everything. All of it. It's all wrong.
Specifically?
You speed, you tailgate. You have no patience. You speed. It takes you an hour to find a parking spot. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of things wrong with it.
An hour to find a parking
spot? Yeah, I don't know. It's your thing. We go to Costco and you have to drive around the building 3 times before you park the car. Past all the parking spots. And then you're like, I can't find a spot. And then you park in the worst parking spot there.
Is that true?
Listen. Costco parking lots are really busy, all right? And there's just people moving and there's people walking all over the place. You know, I try and go around the corner from it and it won't, it doesn't work out.
Are you part of the 71% of people that believe that they are a better driver than their significant other? Yep, I am. 100%.
Because I am.
All right, me too.
Because 100% I am.
When I asked my husband, Paul, if you missed it a few minutes ago, I asked him, he really believed he's the better driver of the two of us and that I'm not a good driver. Isn't that insane?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen your parking, so I don't know about your guys' relationship. I haven't really seen Paul's driving. But I know that in my relationship, there's no question about it. I'm the better driver.
We asked around the office, who's the better driver, you or your spouse?
Who's a better driver, you or your husband?
Oh, my gosh, I would definitely say me because I'm more careful. He's like rides up to people's butts and then he's like swervy all over the place. And I'm like more careful and I go, just slightly above the speed limit.
She said slightly above the speed limit.
She's like honest officer who's not standing next to me in their car with a radar device. I only do like 5 miles per hour. You wouldn't pull me over for that.
No,
right?
Never.
Yeah, he's all swervy.
Yeah. She brought up tailgating. Tailgating is one of the top three things that spouses complain about. They said tailgating, going too fast, braking too hard. But other things that people complain about their spouse driving, makes the temperature too cold or too hot.
Mm.
Paul, it's always too cold. It's
I love it.
Freezing.
Like icebox. Yep. Same.
Takes the longest route. Yep. I don't understand, like, when we're going somewhere and he's got the navigation on,
yeah,
how he could still miss the exit. Like, it's right in front of your face. Well, I don't understand. How did you miss it? It says, like, turn in 300 feet. What did you think was going to happen? You just kept going straight.
You know what, though? I mean, these GPS, they really assume that people have their distances down. All right? Distances are not easy. But, I mean, there is a lit pathway and a turn on my navigation. I would imagine his looks like everybody else's on the planet. That does seem like it would be annoying.
All right, who's a better driver, you or your wife?
Definitely my wife.
Why?
Because if I didn't say that, then I'd be killed.
Why do you think that?
She is a much better driver. I drive too fast.
At least he's honest.
Wow.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, he's got a good handle on himself.
Yeah.
Who's a better driver, you or your husband?
Him.
Why?
I have a lot of dings on my car. Well, you know what? I don't even know now because I didn't run into a pole like he did.
Wow.
That's been sitting there for years and years. I don't know. Maybe we're equally bad. But he would say me.
I mean,
how do they get to the places they have to go?
I don't know.
I hope that they're safe. I think I know who that is, and I like her. I want her to be okay. Wow. She said it was the pole where it had been for years and years, or is the car where it's still at right now, damaged by the pole for years and years?
Her car's got all the dings, but he's the one that hit the pole,
wow,
so it's really a toss-up. Another big complaint is fills the car with clutter or trash. Paul gives me a hard time about that. I always say it's because I have the kids in the car, so they're the bigger issue. They leave the garbage everywhere.
Mm.
It's really me, too.
I was going to say, is that true?
Mm.
Who's a better driver, you or your wife?
I am. Like, why would you even ask? I'm the best at everything. It doesn't matter if it's you, a stranger, my wife. I'm the best.
No one believes that. Not 100. If you say that, you know that you are the worst driver in the building. 100%, right?
I mean, but we know exactly who that is.
Right.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Joan and Thomas. Joan, let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, listen, I cannot stop Thomas from bringing cash everywhere he goes. Everywhere he goes. It is obnoxious. We are living in the digital age where people have Apple Pay and credit cards, and he's still handling disgusting cash money.
Well, I mean, like, you know, like handling it. Like, what do you mean? Like, I mean, a certain amount of money. I keep a certain amount of cash on me all the time.
Yeah, but why do we do that anymore? I don't understand it. I understand having like $4 or $5, but he carries hundreds of dollars in cash on him, right? Like, to pay for everything. And it's crazy to me, considering that you don't need to be carrying around that much cash on you. It's unsafe, first off, because what if somebody just, like, takes your money, robs you? There goes your money. You don't have it. If it's on a card, you can call the card and cancel it.
Thomas, what's your obsession with paying with cash?
Cash is king. Look, you can go anywhere in the world with American dollars. If you have dollars on you, anywhere will take it. They're not going to necessarily take a credit card.
You can go anywhere in the world with MasterCard. You can go anywhere in the world with Discover. Yes, you can. These are all international.
No way. No way. If your car breaks down somewhere and you need something quick, you need somebody, you can offer them $20 and they'll help you out. You know, there's always room to have cash. And I don't like to have all of my stuff online. Why can't I just have money in my pocket? What is the problem?
Hold on, Thomas, can you give me some examples of when you would pay for cash versus using a card?
Dinner, fast food, movies.
Costco. He pays in cash at Costco.
Look,
okay.
My identity got stolen. This was a really big problem, and now I'm not going to deal with that anymore.
Your car breaks down. They tell you it's $1,700 to fix it. How do you pay?
He will go to the bank and get cash. He goes to the bank.
Yeah.
He'll go and get cash. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting to me. I was before trying to think of what the repair would be for $20, and I couldn't come up with anything in this half of a century. But that sounds like a lot, right? I mean, I wouldn't typically, like, even if I'm carrying cash, and I typically carry more than some, I would suppose, but I'm not carrying $1,700 typically.
You need an air fryer. So now you just happen to stumble upon an air fryer, and it's on sale for $147. You pay cash?
If I had it on me. I don't necessarily carry all this cash around with me all the time. I always carry some cash, but for these bigger ticket items, I'm not carrying all this cash around with me. I'm carrying it from point A to the store and then walking out with my goods.
So come across the air fryer and you go and you get the cash out of the bank and you return.
Maybe he doesn't love the air fryer so much. Maybe he just disregards the air fryer purchase now because he doesn't have the cash.
Okay, forget the air fryer. It's something you really want. So you'll leave and go get the cash from the bank and go back and pay for it versus just using a card.
You're at dinner with four of your friends. Everybody pulls out their card and says, let's split it. And you say, I've got cash.
Yeah.
Oh, you're an evil person. Oh.
Okay.
She might be. She might be right. She might be right.
Let's see whose side you're on. Maybe you agree with Thomas. If he can pay cash and he can protect his identity and he can somehow survive like this, then go ahead. Go for it. But they may see Joan's side, too, that it's outdated and he needs to figure out how to use cards responsibly.
I mean, I would just think that that's ruining your credit, too. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
They say cash is king, but is that really true anymore? Joan is upset that her husband, Thomas, refuses to use anything but cash on every purchase that he makes.
Yeah, so for small stuff, this wouldn't bother me at all. Day-to-day stuff, no big deal whatsoever. And think about how much that change jar of yours is going to be filling up at home, right, Anna? But when you're talking about major purchases, you're going to go out, you're going to buy a television, you're going to buy a sofa or something like that. The thought of going to the bank, getting $2,000 out of the bank to go do something like that seems crazy to me.
Thomas disagrees. He says that that's how he spends money. He thinks that they are going to steal his identity. He says it's a trap using credit cards. He doesn't want to use a debit card. It's all tracking him. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
Hi, I'm actually on his side. I agree with her that it's very annoying that he doesn't use his credit card, but live and let live. Like, if that's what he's comfortable doing, let him do it. He's not forcing her to pay cash. And she should be happy that he's not running up a credit card bill all the time.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. They say cash is king, but is that really true anymore? Joan is upset that her husband, Thomas, she believes, is stuck in the past times and only uses cash everywhere they go.
Yeah, Thomas makes all his major purchases, big ones, small ones, all that too. It doesn't matter if it's dinner with friends, going to the gas station or whatever. He's always using cash. Only has one credit card, hardly ever uses it.
Do you think that it's outdated that he does this and that he should kind of join modern times? Or is he right? It's when he uses credit cards, he's just putting himself out there for identity theft and who knows what else. Hi, it's Anna and Raven, Couples Court. Whose side are you on?
I'm on his side, only because when did paying cash become an issue? When you go to a restaurant now, the restaurant charges you to use your card. I'm not going to give the restaurant an extra $3 to pay for my meal.
Well, I would check your regulations, ma'am, because in a lot of states, that's actually illegal.
And I have never been asked to pay more money to use a card. Never. Yeah. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I am 100% on his side, because I just feel like carrying cash... like he said, if his car breaks down and he needs to give someone $20 to jumpstart it, he will always have that security of not needing the time to go to the bank or not needing to use a card or process a card. Cash is quick.
I can't think of a single car repair that would only cost me $20. And if I got to pay somebody to jump my car, like, you're a jerk. If you got jumper cables and I got to pay you to jump it, you're a jerk.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Oh, I'm on his side. I mean, something, it makes him feel better to pay this way. It's not costing them any more. It's actually costing them maybe a little less because some places start to charge more with a credit card. So what does she care if he's carrying around the cash? I'm definitely on his side.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Thomas, our audience agreed with you. If you're comfortable doing it, then go for it.
Thank you. I don't see why this is such a big deal.
Because it's not where we're living now. It's time to sort of modernize, and it's okay to like enjoy the new technology that we have because it's there to help us.
I do agree with you, Joan, that I think it's only a matter of time before a lot of places will become cashless. I really do believe that. We're starting to see it slowly, but I think it's only a matter of time. So I think he's not going to have a choice eventually anyway.
On the other hand, fear of mugging, I don't think, should stop you from doing what you feel safe doing, Thomas, anyways, to protect yourself. I mean, if you get mugged, the biggest thing you should be worried about is your life, not the cash, right? So, you know, that's not really a big deal.
No, not to me.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $500 thanks to Go-Go Squeeze. Go-Go Squeeze fruit on the go pouches are a nutritious snack made from 100% fruit with no sugar added. Squeeze out the best with Go-Go Squeeze. Gene, let's go. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, man.
All right. Thank you. Here's how it's going to work, Gene. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. But if you could take them down, $500. Ready to play?
Yes, I'm ready.
Number 1. Actor Bryan Cranston was struck by a line drive while practicing for a celebrity softball game. How many innings are there in a softball game?
6.
Number 2, Chris Pratt says that Harrison Ford scared him away from taking on the role of Indiana Jones in a future project after he said, "Don't you get it? I'm Indiana Jones. When I'm gone, he's gone. It's easy." What animal is Indiana Jones afraid of?
Snakes.
Number 3, J-Lo and Ben Affleck are planning a big wedding celebration in the next couple weeks at Ben's home in Georgia. They were married this past weekend in what city?
Oh, I don't know the answer. Let me say Los Angeles.
Where?
Los Angeles.
Number 4, Millie Bobby Brown called the Duggar brothers sensitive whats for not killing off a main character on Stranger Things. Sensitive whats?
Sensitive feelings?
And number 5, Texas State University will soon offer a college course all about Harry Styles. His song, As It Was, entered its 10th week on the top of the Billboard Hot 100 charts. The record time for an artist dominating the chart is a 1995 song by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men at 16 weeks. What song was that?
Is it The End of the Road?
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yeah.
All right, Gene only got 1.
Oh, not good, Gene. Let's see how I do.
All right, number 1. Actor Bryan Cranston was struck by a line drive while practicing for a celebrity softball game. How many innings are there in a softball game?
There's 7, right?
Yes. Number 2. Chris Pratt says that Harrison Ford scared him away from taking on the role of Indiana Jones in the future after he said, "Don't you get it? I'm Indiana Jones. When I'm gone, he's gone. It's easy." What animal is Indiana Jones afraid of?
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
J-Lo and Ben Affleck are planning a big wedding celebration in the next couple weeks at Ben's home in Georgia. They were married this past weekend in what city?
Vegas.
Number 4, Millie Bobby Brown called the Duggar brothers sensitive whats for not killing off the main character on Stranger Things. Well, sensitive whats?
You're sensitive Sally's if you're sensitive.
Yes. Number 5, Texas State University will soon offer a college course all about Harry Styles. His right. song, As It Was, entered its 10th week at the top of the Billboard 100 charts. The record time for an artist to dominate that chart is 1995, a song that was put out by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men. That was 16 weeks to stay at number 1. What song was that?
Oh, God, I know this song.
Just give me an answer.
I can sing it.
Oddly, he's right. That's the crazy part about this right now. What is it called? All right, it's One Sweet Day.
One Sweet Day, yes! Well, I didn't get it, but
you
I knew
didn't
it.
Get it. Okay.
But I knew it, and you know that I knew it, bro.
Gene, I'm sorry that Raven beat you 4-1 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
I'm Gene, and I can't beat Raven.
Enjoy that shirt, bro. $600 tomorrow, Anna.
Thank you to Debbie. She submitted one of the questions I used. If you have an idea for a question, too, submit it at annaandraven.com.